I think you have to have a crying baby to get this privilege of going first. I don't know. Maybe they would have nudged me forward anyway. Okay, I have a kind of a long-winded testimony. Sorry. So I'm going to get right to it.
You're supposed to be out here about a little afternoon, you know.
Not that long. I'm going to get right to it. But first, I want to thank my children this morning for being so very patient in all the obstacles that were a part of getting out of church this morning with a baby who did not want to stop crying and still doesn't. Sorry, B. Okay. So with Pastor Dave's encouragement, I wrote a testimony and realized it was too long to memorize, so I'm just going to read it, and I hope everyone's okay with that. I grew up in a home where you went to church on Sunday, pretty much every Sunday. If you were sick, no one dragged you. If it snowed more than 3 feet, you could expect that Grandma in her big blue gray station wagon, the one with the dove that bobbed back and forth when she drove, would not be there to pick you up. Other than that, my grandma would pretty much come every Sunday and take our whole family to church. I grew up in a Catholic family, a Catholic home, and was raised Catholic. I went to CCD. I made my first communion. I went to confession. I did all the things that you were supposed to do when you're Catholic. As a child, I did have faith. I never doubted for a second that God could hear me. I never doubted that He cared for me and that there was a place called heaven waiting for me someday. I think that my Graham, who truly did have a heart for the Lord, showed me early on what it meant to have faith. However, I grew up knowing of God, not really knowing God. Kind of like knowing the popular kids exist at school. You know who they are. You know their names. You might say hi in passing. You maybe want to know them better, but you don't really know them personally. Or at least I didn't. When I was 12, I went away to summer camp, and that all changed. When our camp counselor talked about a relationship with Jesus, I told her, I am a Christian, of course. I said, I pray, I go to confession, I read from the book of Job, I ask the saints to help me find much-needed articles when they're lost. So that's pretty much it, right? And I said, you know, I got it down. So she explained to me that knowing God was a personal relationship, and it was something that was each person had to ask Jesus in their heart. And I thought, wow, okay, this is a new thing, but let's go with it. So I told her that that to tell God that I'd like that very much. And if she could just relate that message, that would be great. So apparently, she told me part of the benefit of a personal relationship was direct communication, that I had to tell God myself. So right there in that room, the dusty room filled with blue ticking mattresses and metal frame bunk beds, in an otherwise ordinary room at a Christian retreat center, something extraordinary happened. God met me there. An immature, silly, preteen girl who just realized the weight of her sins knew a Savior all of a sudden who could take them away in a very real way. That Savior was about to change our hearts, my heart, first of all, my life and my family's life, and I truly believe all the generations in our family to come. I wanted to talk to God every minute after that. I was so excited. I thought, God, this is great. I don't even have to go in the cubicle and talk to somebody else and tell him everything I did wrong so he could tell you. So I was excited. It was kind of like getting a new pair of shoes that were really shiny. And you want to look down at them all the time and make sure they're still there and they're yours. And you have them and you can't even believe it. So that was kind of how I felt. I went home from camp and my parents were going through a divorce at that time. And now, I'm just going to fast forward, because they are both remarried to wonderful people. They are both in this church right here. I asked them that for permission to say all this. And they live down the street from each other, and they both came from New England. All my family from way back, all the way back, came from New England. So they both, with their spouses, live here down the street. And it's really neat to me because it shows my children and me that God can work everything out for the good for those who love Him. In a situation that was not exactly perfect, became God's plan. And it is a really neat plan to see unfold. I saw my Gram, who was the first one who taught me about faith in her dying moments, reach out her arms to the Lord when she physically should not have been able to lift a finger. For 2 hours, she lifted her arms in praise, as if greeting old friends with her hugs that she hadn't seen in years. That was a very significant marker in my life. That was 2 years to the day today. I have been trying to be baptized for years and years and years. I've been a Christian for over 20 years. And something always happens. Today was no exception, but we persevered. But I just think it's pretty neat that this is the marker my mom pointed out of my Gram's death and what an amazing marker it was in my life. It showed me every day since my Gram's death that this is not our permanent home. This is our temporary home, and something hit me. It was a little snap. I've always heard that. I heard people saying, this is just, we are foreigners, we are aliens, we don't belong here. And I thought, I belong here at TJ Maxx. I'm going to go, I'm going to find the sales, and then after church, I'll just get through church, you know. But now I feel like I belong here, and I have a purpose other than TJ Maxx. And I feel like God really clicked. There was something that he put in my head when my Gram died, and that was, this isn't our home. I want to live like, you know, tomorrow could be my last day. That God's timing is like a vapor, he says. It's so quick. And suddenly that I realized that. The closer my relationship becomes, the more I feel like a stranger here. And when my Gram died, I felt this sense of calmness and peace as if she had just gone to the grocery store for some milk and she'd be right back. Even though I was sad, it was a different kind of sadness. It was a happy sadness. Like, okay, now you're done with your mission. I'm on my mission, and my mission is God's mission. That's what I want for my life, is I want God's mission for me. So anyway, here in the meantime, my temporary home, I choose to live this vapor in this breath of my lifetime for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. There's still a lot of work to be done in me, but I trust that God will take care of these things he wants to fix in my life and in my heart. My hope would be that when someone's looking back on my life, that they can say about me what I read about my Gram 2 years ago. And I had to look this up on my Microsoft Word to quote myself. But my Gram, this is about my Gram who touched my life so deeply. She gave an abundance from a well that never ran dry. Her abundance came from a source that filled her continuously, her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She was a woman who diligently pursued the work of the Lord and loved people with all her heart. As I was thinking about the baptism, I came up with a little metaphor. If my husband's here, he might be. He's on shift today, but he tried to sneak in. He will laugh because I'm always coming up with metaphors, probably 8 or 9 times a day. And he says, I'll say, honey, you know what this reminds me of? And he'll say, let me guess, does it have anything to do with swimming upstream or salmon or treading against the waters? And I'll go, how'd you know? So he laughs because I'm always coming up with metaphors and relating situations. So this is almost done. So anyway, my dad, I thought about a metaphor about God that I have to tell a little story and then I'll be done. My dad has been trying to get me to watch a movie, sorry Dad, for 2 weeks now. Actually, there are 2 movies on the same subject that he has been trying to get me to watch. Apparently, this is super important to him, and I feel very bad because I haven't yet watched a movie that he wants me to watch. And for those of you who know me, watching movies and talking on the phone and returning calls is not my strong point. So every day, my dad asks me, have you watched the movie? Have you watched the movie? And I say, I'm sorry, Dad, I homeschooled yesterday, and then I did the dishes, and there was so much going on, I didn't, but I will get to it. So, I'm sorry, I got to find my spot here. Okay, he told me, just watch one of them for 10 minutes. If you don't like it, turn it off. Just 10 minutes. The next day he called, and the conversation went something like this. Hello? Hi, it's Dad. How are the movies? the movies? What, Dad? Did you watch 10 minutes? you know what, Dad, I can't hear you. I have to go. I don't know. Something's wrong with my phone. I really need to go. I can't hear you. I'm going to hang up now. Of course, my dad was laughing, and it was very funny at the time. But now I understand that it's really important to him. And even though movies are movies, I realize something greater in all this. And that is, in the busyness of life, God is asking me to watch his movie. And he's saying, just 10 minutes. He's beckoning me every day. Even though I already gave my life to him, I can feel him calling me each and every day. Just 10 minutes. That's all I need. 15 minutes. My dad wants to share these movies with me because he loves me. Just like God wants to share his word with me and his plan for me because he loves me. And there was something that hit me about that in those movies. So, Dad, today's the day. 10 minutes. So when life is busy and I don't have enough time, when there's laundry to sort and runny noses and children to put down, it's almost like a conversation as real as the one with my dad. Oh, do you know how busy I am, God? Do you see this? I have so much laundry. I have kids. Do you know? I do. Do you know how tired I am? I do. Why do you want me to do this again? To transform you, he says. To make you new. Surrender, he whispers in my ear. I always want my answer to be yes. And I pray this baptism will be a symbol of another yes. That it will take me one more step closer to the script that God has written for my life. So that's why I'm getting baptized today after all these years.